Welcome to Faith and Fitness Magazine. I am really excited today to be able to speak with a good friend and yet someone that I haven't connected with for a good long time. Back in 2004, when Faith and Fitness Magazine was just beginning, we had an opportunity to interview Clark Bartram. He's a fitness model, fitness professional. He's been around for a long time in the industry, and I'm really pleased to be able to have Clark join us today. Welcome, Clark.
I'm excited to be here, brother. And, yeah, you are right. It has been a long time, man. But you know what? I've been watching you grow this magazine, and I'm really excited to see all the progress you've made and the lives you've been touching along the way. So congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you. You know, back in 2004, CrossFit had just been around for a little over 4 years. It started in 2000, and things like Orange Theory Fitness, as huge as it is, wasn't even a thought yet. It didn't get started until 2010. So it's amazing how fast time goes, and yet it seems like it was just yesterday. Let's get caught up. Tell me what's been happening in your life since then.
Well, pretty much, you know, the same stuff. I'm still doing the fitness thing, and I feel probably like I'm more focused than I've ever been in my life right now. I'll just catch you up to speed what I'm doing today, because all of what I've done from the time we spoke in the past till now has led me up till today. So I've launched a program for men over 50. It's called the Nanotest Performance System for Men, and it revolves around a supplement that I made to help men boost their T levels naturally, and it involves five lifestyle principles, and it's mindset, meals, movement, community, and supplementation. So I give these men coaching for free. It's absolutely free. So if there's any man out there who is wanting guidance, wanting coaching, and wanting it from someone who's in their demographic, understands what it's like to get older and the challenges that come with that, this is the program. Because once again, I charge nothing for it, and I've got thousands of men from all around the world whose lives are being absolutely transformed.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, there's so much out there for men, but a lot of it is what? It's sort of self-promoting, and I don't know. I just see so much going on, and yet it seems like it's missing the mark. So I'm excited to hear about that. And I want to get into those five pillars here in just a bit, but I wanted to go ahead and move forward, you know, into the current theme for this issue of Faith and Fitness Magazine, which is input, get it and give it. And, you know, your article, which we're highlighting again, that came out in 2004, you talked a lot in that about just being a presence among people. I asked you a lot about, you know, should Christians let their faith shine, you know, just how upfront should they be. And throughout that conversation back then, you just talked about the real importance of being a presence. And I think what we're talking about today really is on that same thing, only we're looking even a little deeper. And I'd like for you to share just how people have fed into your life over the years, perhaps even at an early age, if you could go way back then. I shouldn't say way back then, but, but you know, back when you were a kid, was there somebody that fed into your life and shaped you, you believe, to who you are today?
Well, I don't think in any of our lives there's any one person in particular. If we realize that as we go through life, we have different influences that affect us in many ways. Obviously, you know, we have parents, we have teachers, we have pastors, priests, whatever, you know, someone came up in, counselors, coaches, teachers, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, all of these people influence us in some way or another. And I can look back through my life and see certain ones that have definitely risen to a place of, I remember this moment specifically. And there are, you know, a few of those people in my life that, you know, may have only been there for a brief period of time. One in particular really only said one thing to me that impacted me in a great way that's kind of led me to where I'm at today. It was a gentleman by the name of Henry McGee. He was working at the YMCA at the time, and I was a young kid and had sort of a build already, and my bicep was already formed, you know, and similar to how it looks today. It was very peaked up and muscular, and everyone thought I was deformed. They thought there was something wrong with me, and this guy looked at me and he said, "Hey, that could make you a champion someday." And that stuck in my mind forever, and it was really interesting because when I started getting famous and getting on the magazines and the internet became a thing, I just looked that man up and decided to give him a call when I found his number on the internet. And lo and behold, he answered the phone and he remembered who I was. I remembered who he was. And it was just, you know, it was just a few weeks in a YMCA in Canton, Ohio. And I'll never forget that man. And then, you know, another situation with a lady by the name of Sally. This one really has impacted me in a great way. She was a wardrobe consultant on my TV show. And this was, I don't know how many years ago, probably 97, 98. And I walked into the wardrobe trailer while she was making her lunch. And she was probably 4 feet 11, 200 pounds. She wasn't what one would consider a pillar of fitness model stature or anything. But what she said to me impacted my life. And I talk about it all the time. She has no clue. She was cooking her lunch, and I asked her what she was eating, and she was eating chicken and broccoli. And she looked right at me, and the Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. And she looked directly into my soul, and she said, "Clark, this is the body that God gave me, and I'm going to live in it healthy." And I've used that quote multiple times in my life. It's in books. I've spoke on it in front of thousands of people on stages. I'm talking about her now, and it's impactful. So for me, it's not necessarily one person. You know, Jack LaLanne had a big impact on me, but I think it's collectively, if we really get on the balcony of our life and observe, we can see moments in time where so many people have been that person of influence.
Sure. And let me ask you, what do you feel made what they said to you so impactful? And I'm curious both in terms of what you genuinely feel, but I'd like for you to also speak to, I think a lot of times we feel, boy, I've got to come up with the most inspirational saying to tell somebody or else it's not worth saying at all.
Well, see, that's the problem when you try to come up with something inspirational to say somebody, because to me, then it's not authentic. What really resonated with what they said to me specifically was the authenticity, was it was just a remark. It wasn't a thought out statement. It wasn't something that was meant to have the impact that it had. This person, these people, might not even remember those moments. Like, if I went to Henry McGee or if I went to Sally and said, "Hey, do you remember saying your bicep could make you a champion? Or do you remember saying this is the body that God gave me and I'm going to live in healthy?" They might not remember it. But because the way people say things to you that really resonates in your soul. Like, I've been to so many seminars, and I've been in so many churches, and I've heard so many people speak, and I'm like, there is nothing authentic about what they're saying. It's not hitting me at all. I feel nothing from this. It's because they're trying. And I guess the good thing about me and what the response I get from people in my coaching is, they're like, "Clark, you're probably one of the most authentic people I've ever met. You don't care what anyone thinks. You say what's on your heart, but when you say it, even if it comes off a little bit gruff or a little bit aggressive, I know from being around you that your intention is pure because your desire is to really impact a life, right? And it's not even like you're trying. It's just an extension of who you are. So right now, I'm living in God's plan and God's purpose for my life 100%. There's not even a question.
And those two people, again, I just want to sort of dig in to that time back then when they made an impact on you. Can you maybe describe, you know, it's not just that they're authentic, but God used that moment to really speak to you. And so I'm sort of curious where you were at that time in your life that you were able to receive what they said and it was truly transformational for you.
Well, in both situations, so I'll start with the most recent one first. With the Sally, I was walking into that wardrobe trailer, and I had probably, I would say, 5 or 6 female co-hosts on that TV show. And you can imagine, if they're a co-host on a fitness television show, that they are a fit person, right? Someone who the world would see and look at and go, oh, my God, I wish I looked like that person. Right. So they were literally, I walked in, picture a trailer in your mind, and the door is in the middle. I walk in, they're to the right, trying on their wardrobe for the next set of shows. And while they're trying it on, like, I'm 20 yards from them, I'm 20 yards from her. I look over there, and most people would want to go that direction because there's beauty, right? There's youth, there's all this sort of stuff that people are attracted to. But I heard their conversation. Oh, my God, this makes me look fat. Oh, my gosh. They're complaining, and it was totally not attractive. I was put off by it. So instead of taking a right, I took a left, and I went down because I smell food, and I heard food cooking, and there was Sally. And it was the polar opposite visual and conversation. While these girls who were in what most would look at as a perfect body complaining about it, right, this gift of beauty complaining, I walked down to someone who could very easily go, oh, my God, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm short, I'm this, I'm that. She was none of that. At that point in time, she was the most beautiful person ever, and because of that beautiful statement that she made, I mean, she looked right at me. So it was the moment that was really the impact. It was everything put together. It was those girls complaining. It was the fact that I was doing a fitness television show. It was the fact that I had a choice of who I wanted to talk to, and I took this choice. And because I took that choice, she looked at me, and literally, I mean, I can see her today. Like, looked into my soul. And when she said that statement, this is the body that God gave me, I'm going to live in it healthy, it hit me. It, like, boom. I mean, it hit me to the point where I'm still talking about it today. This is 1997.
Yeah.
So then you go back to the other one where Henry McGee said, those biceps that your friends just made fun of, that made you cry and run home from the playground on Clarendon Elementary School at the end of Columbus Avenue where you grew up, and these four kids were all using a bullworker seeing who could get the biggest biceps. You know, we were there. We were comparing. We had one little piece of fitness equipment called a bullworker, and in mine, my biceps looked different. They looked deformed, and they laughed. I cried. I ran home. I was in a, like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know what bodybuilding was then. I didn't know any of that. I just thought something was wrong with me. But when this guy recognized something that was potentially awesome, right, which it did turn out to be, then that's why I felt like 30 years later I needed to call him to tell him, you were right. You were right. I was 14. Now I'm 34. Now I'm 44. How old I was when I called him. He's like, I remember you, and I've been watching your career. So it's just really interesting because I think that inspiration and impact goes both ways, you know? I mean, something that may have happened with that conversation on both of those examples may have had a different but as meaningful of an impact as it did on me, but could have been something completely different or nothing at all. Who knows?
Sure. So you talk about it going both ways. I'd like to switch to the other end of the conversation now. A lot of people keep their mouth shut. They're like, nobody wants to hear from me. I don't really have anything to say. Or they would, the person that I see that maybe I want to talk to may feel that my conversation with them is unwelcome. Let's get into a bit of that conversation, how you've navigated through. And obviously you're a personality. You're a fitness personality. But I'd like for you to sort of encourage our listeners here as to how they can step up to the plate, how they can speak up, how they can open up and make a difference in someone's life.
Okay, well, let's just keep Sally as the conversation here. What if Sally never would have said that to me because she was a low person on the totem pole on that day? We're on a fitness show. There's 6 fitness models. There's a fitness host who's got all of this energy and bravado and confidence and swag. I come walking in. I look, and I ask her a simple question. What are you having for lunch? She could have at that point curled up and said, who am I to talk in this environment? I'm 4 feet 11. I'm 200 pounds. They're all perfect. I'm nothing. I'm just the wardrobe consultant. I'm only here to do this. I have no right in saying that. What if she would have believed all of that nonsense that we tell ourselves and not said what she said to me? I wouldn't have this beautiful example. I wouldn't have written about it in several books. I wouldn't have spoken about it on stage. I wouldn't have people coming back and repeating that comment that I've shared on so many occasions with people. Like, if my wife is listening to me right now, she's like, probably thinking, I don't know how many times I've heard this man say this story about this woman, you know? And I think that too often people don't realize that they have a circle of influence. And their circle of influence is in need of their input. And because we live in this world of influence now, and that has become part of the jargon that we use in speak these days, that we associate that word with somebody who has a personality, like you had mentioned I am, or a following, or this large impact. Well, your impact doesn't need to be large. Let me tell you something that happened amazing to me the other day that I've been hearing about since Oprah. I went through a Starbucks line, and someone did that pay it forward thing. They paid for my food. And I was, like, so impacted. This person could have been, like, in their mind, a nobody. But they didn't realize that they influenced and affected a personality, a big shot, a famous person. Big deal. I'm just another guy in a car. That's all I am. I was the next guy in line.
Sure.
You know, and we never know what that next guy in line or that next gal in line is dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So if you get out of the car and you do that face-to-face by opening a door, smiling, how you doing, and actually caring, because you said something earlier about being present and actually, you know, being there. Like, we say, how are you doing, and don't really care. But say how you're doing and then actually care about the response. And if someone says, I'm not doing good, then ask them why. How? Can I pray for you? Can I buy you lunch? Is there anything that I can do for you today to help you maybe feel a little bit better?
Yeah.
That is impacting someone who happens to be in your circle. Maybe it's just for that moment in time. It doesn't need to be constant. It's just that moment in time. But too many people don't think enough of themselves to have this confidence to say or do something like that. And I love it when some random person comes up to me, as confident as I am, as sure of myself as I am, I love when some random person comes up to me, looks at me, smiles, how you doing, nice shoes, whatever, whatever. Even a statement as simple as nice shoes could make someone's day. Because maybe they just bought them, you know, on Facebook, and someone else said, oh, those shoes are ugly. Like someone that means something to you. You just never know. So you can't afford to not say something, because I believe it's your obligation.
Sure.
You know, I truly believe it's an obligation.
No, that's true. And I want to ask you, Clark, something that I think a lot of people don't think about, but I'd love to hear your input on this. When we talk about giving input to others, a lot of times I don't think we realize how just the act of listening is a big part of giving input to somebody. Can you share a little bit about the art of listening that you discovered over the years?
I'm learning that lesson right now as we speak. Matter of fact, I just practiced it probably right before you called. Right before you called, my wife pulled up. So now I've been married to this woman for 32 years, okay? And I am a very focused guy. I'm a very driven guy. I'm a very hardworking guy. And when I put my blinders on, so I was searching for photos for you for the magazine. She walked up. She just got done with working with a new client who's an elderly lady, and my wife had something that impacted her very deeply. Now, Clark, normal Clark, keeps his blinders on and keeps working. But because Clark 2.0 or 3.0 or 20.0, whatever version I am of myself right now, you know, let's say 57.0, one new version every year, stopped what I was doing, turned my knees in her direction, turned the radio down, and actually listened to what she was saying. And I actually heard what she was saying. And the version 56 of Clark would have kept my blinders on, would have done what I did. She would have walked away feeling like, wow, he couldn't even take 2 seconds to hear what I had to say because I really impacted this woman's life, and I'm very proud of myself. She was so cute. She cried. I had this experience, and you couldn't take 2 seconds to listen. Because I've been made aware of that flaw in me, I'm at least smart enough to understand that I'm not changing the world. I am changing the world to a degree, but I'm not, you know, I'm not doing something so powerful that it can't wait 13 seconds for me to listen to a a comment or a whatever, you know,
yeah, that's right.
Where the old version would have been like, I'm busy. I got stuff going on. Don't you understand? I don't want to hear about a puppy or whatever, you know, that's me. And I'll talk about me all day long about the things that I've done wrong because there's a whole laundry list of them. But the beauty of where I'm at today is understanding that if you just stop, man, and listen and like really care and then engage and ask more questions and give someone the opportunity to continue to mine more inside of their soul for what's underneath it and what's next, you might end up having a conversation you never thought was even possible.
Yeah. So this input, both getting it from someone and getting it to others, has a lot to do with obedience.
Yeah, that's 100% of what it has to do. You know, because I knew through counseling, I knew through having people speak into my life, multiple, Clark, really, you're not doing anything so freaking important that you can't stop for 2 minutes, dude. I've had counselors tell me that, and I'm like, you're right. You know, you're right. So what makes me so important that I can't stop looking for a photo for you? Like, this magazine doesn't need to be closed today. You know, you didn't need that right now. You can wait 15 minutes. I can wait 15 minutes to find it. And I can turn and talk to someone who had something very impactful in their life. Like, because who else are you going to talk to? There's nobody else here but me.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we miss the God-created priorities a lot of times. Well, tell me, we're getting close to the end here of time. I want to go back and for you to share a little bit more about the nano test, correct, and the five pillars?
Yeah. So nanotest, like I said, is a natural testosterone-boosting supplement, and the name came from the fact that I used the technology available to us today to nanotize the ingredients, making them more bioavailable to the human body, meaning that your body is going to assimilate it, actually use it, and facilitate the natural cascade of hormones that tend to slow down for a variety of different reasons. It could be age-related, stress-related, endocrine disruptors. There's a whole host of different things that can affect, probably collectively, is really what happens. So if we're no longer at 800 on our T levels, we're at a 200, we need to do something about it. But I tell everyone who gets this product, any supplement that you consume is only as good as the lifestyle that supports it. And it was actually through an interview just like this for the last cover that I was on that it really solidified in my mind. It was like it came up from the earth and presented itself right in front of me. When the interviewer started talking and asking me about the five lifestyle principles, he asked me to drill down. And as I drilled down on them and then I saw them in print, I'm like, this is it. This is what I've been searching for my entire life. And it wasn't until I stopped searching that they became like oh so present in my life. The first one is mindset. The second one is meals. The third one is movement. The fourth one is community. And the fifth one is supplementation. So anyone who comes to me that's a man over 50 that wants to make a change, I demand that they follow these five lifestyle principles. And I do that through the community that I've created online. And then I teach them how to eat, and I teach them how to exercise. And then finally, I say, hey, if you're ready, then this supplement is available for you. So collectively, all of those paths lead to guys getting off prescription medication. I have what every company dreams of. I had a call yesterday with my team. I have more testimonials than we have time to edit, than we have time to put in one concise sizzle reel video. Most companies hire actors. I have more real-world testimonials of this system changing lives, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not because I tried to create something. It's because I followed my path my purpose, God's plan for my life, and I am operating in it. I am laser focused on it. I am confident in what I can do and realize that it's not me. Like, I am simply a vessel of this message, and I am like being as authentic as you can be. And these guys, they're responding. They're responding in a way that this thing is growing so fast. I'm so excited about it, and it brings me so much joy to know that I'm finally not trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Even though I was doing stuff that was in line with who I am, I'm not doing it for someone else. I'm doing it for me. Like, this is my thing, and nobody can tell me change this or that when I know in my gut it's the right thing to do. So it's exciting, man.
Yeah, no, that is. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Just wrap up with one quick, simple question. To all the guys that are 50 and older out there listening, what would you say is you got a tip or something to share with them about just how they can go about giving input to other people and that whole concept of community, building community?
What was the question again?
Just one final thought on how men in particular that are 50 and older, I think a lot of times they feel like I'm starting to get into that age where people aren't going to listen to me anymore. There's a younger generation coming up, and they may just have preconceived feelings about their value in giving input to other people, and they may not get a sense that they're the ones that have a real opportunity to create community. So I'm curious what thoughts you may have to give to the men that are listening to this right now.
Don't believe that BS lie. That's horrible, because you are now in a position more than ever where people will listen to you, including the younger generation that has put some sort of fear in your mind of who's going to listen to me. There is life experience that these younger kids don't have. They don't have it. Yeah, maybe they look like you did in college or all that sort of stuff that clouds are thinking to make us believe something that's not true. I've got kids coming over here daily, young guys that want to train with me, that want to listen to me, that want to hear me. And some guy might be going, yeah, Clark, but look at you. No, don't even do that. Because let's say a guy is a software engineer. I don't know anything about software engineering, but there's a whole host of people out there in the world that want to learn from your experience, because there's a bunch of young software engineers out there. So that's why we call it a circle of influence. Your influence is, the people are going to be around you that are attracted to the things that you do and have done so well for years. So don't believe that, man. You're responsible for that. I believe it's an obligation, and not doing it is stealing from people who could benefit from your experience and mistakes, successes, and everything in between. You owe it to the world to go out and share it. And if your community is 3 people, it's still a community. It doesn't need to be 3,000. It doesn't.
Now, that's it. Well, Clark, thank you so much for taking time to share with us today.
Of course, buddy. Thank you.
I've been speaking today with Clark Bartram. He's a fitness model, fitness personality. He's the founder of NanoTest, and he first appeared in Faith and Fitness magazine back in 2004, and you'll be seeing more of him yet to come here in Faith and Fitness magazine. We'll have another broadcast soon. Be listening for it.